We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
On the line with us, Al, is a man who knows more football than all of us put together. The author of the Eagles Encyclopedia, a member of the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and now a brilliant performer pre- and post-game NBC Sports pre- and post-game Eagles game, the great Ray Dittiger. Hi, Ray.
Hello, Ange. And with all those credentials, I am 0-2 picking Eagles games.
Ray, don't diminish your credibility here. We have to at least present it as a great thing and then
I understand.
Hope they don't remember. All right, Ray, let's start with this. You really do a very thorough study of the film. How bad was that loss on Sunday?
It was really bad. It was worse on the defensive side than it was the offensive side. And the offense wasn't any bargain, obviously. But what the defense was really, really, really dreadful.
All right, can you break it down? Let's start with where we spent all our money. The interior defensive line. Hargrave, $13 million a year, Ray, 25 snaps, zero plays.
Right.
Malik Jackson, Fletcher Cox. What did you see in the middle of that line?
They were a non-factor, you know, and you're quite right. I mean, you put your finger right on it. I mean, that was when we were doing the post-game show on NBC. We spent the first hour and a half talking about just Wentz and the offense. Right. And right before we signed off, I said, hey, you know what? We haven't talked about the defense. I think that was the bigger problem. I mean, they were really bad. And you're the way Jim Schwartz builds his defense and the way Howie Roseman pays his defense, you got to win games up front. You got to win games at the line of scrimmage. And you got no play from any of those guys up there. The defensive tackles got pushed around. And the defensive ends were out of position all day. I mean, I give a lot of credit, and we talked about this on Monday, I give a lot of credit to McVay. I thought he had a great game plan, and I thought he executed it beautifully. I mean, he called a great game, and he had the Eagles off balance all week. But there was other stuff, too. I mean, they just weren't getting off blocks. They looked confused, and you expect them to go to halftime, they would make some adjustments and pick some things up because – you know, the Rams weren't going to change anything in the second half. I mean, everything was working too well, so you had to adjust to what they were doing, and they didn't. I thought the defense was really bad, and if they're going to get this thing turned around and get this season back on the tracks, obviously the quarterback has to play better, but the whole defense has to play much better than they played on Sunday.
All right, I'm going to get to the quarterback in a second, but did it help at all, Ray, that Jim Schwartz came out and took most of the blame himself for a terrible game plan, one he had to abandon in the first half? Did that help at all? Do you agree, having watched that tape, that it was a ridiculous game plan?
I thought that he, you know, coaches sometimes do that they kind of fall on the sword.
Yeah.
And he did, but it wasn't all on him. He got thoroughly outcoached. There's no question about that. But his guys have to play better. I mean, they just have to tackle better. They have to. The defensive ends have to understand just the basic principle of containment. Just don't chase down plays because you leave yourself open for the end around and the reverse. I mean, the Rams killed them with that a half a dozen times in this game. And one of the things about this game that I don't mean to scare Eagles fans, but I have to put it out there since we're talking about this. The Bengals head coach, Zach Taylor, is a guy who came from the Rams staff a couple years ago. I mean, he was one of the assistants under McVay in putting that offense together. And if you look at the Bengals offense, I mean, it is a carbon copy of the Rams offense. They have the same formations. They use the same route combinations. They call plays in the same sequence. I mean, Zach Taylor tucked that Rams playbook under his arm and took it to Cincinnati with him. And he's had a whole week now to study what the Rams did to the Eagles last Sunday. So the game plan that you're going to see on this Sunday is going to be exactly the same one that the Rams brought in here last Sunday. I get, and there's no reason for him to change.
All right, Ray Dittage, you're foreshadowing a Bengals pick. But We're not ready for that yet, Ray. Let's go to Carson Wentz. He himself has said he lacks no confidence. He has tuned out the criticism and that he is convinced that he is just about to turn the corner. You evaluated his performance looking at the tape. How bad was it? And are you as confident he could turn it around immediately?
It was really bad. It was really bad. Can he turn it around immediately? Yeah, I think. I mean, he's going to need some help. It's not just all on him. A lot's going to depend on the game plan. A lot's going to depend on the play calling. But yeah, I mean, I would expect him to play well this week. Largely because the Bengals defense just isn't very good. And I mean, I looked at the Bengals defense this week, and man, it's really bad. I was writing down when I was taking my notes, I wrote down players out of position, blown assignments in the secondary, and missed tackles. Those are the three notes I made. And I realized, looking back, those are the same three notes I made about the Eagles game. All the problems that Jim Schwartz was owning up to in his press conference were all the same things you saw with the Bengals. I mean, what you got right now is you got two 0-2 teams that are playing like 0-2 teams.
But this game Sunday is the season for the Eagles. You agree with that?
You hate to put it in those terms when it's only week three, but yeah, I mean, if they can't beat this team, then you really have to wonder who on their schedule can they beat. They really do have to win this game, and they know it. And, you know, and the head coach knows it, and the quarterback knows it, because they're the two guys standing in the bullseye right now.
All right, before we get into you breaking it down a little further, Ray, I got to ask you, we just played a couple of minutes ago an exchange between Jimmy Kemsky and Doug Peterson, where Doug got very aggravated when Kemsky suggested that some throws of the NFL are not that difficult and Carson should be executing them better. In your long and historic career as a journalist, did you ever ask a question that irritated the person you were asking?
Oh, all the time.
You did. Can you give me an example of something
asked? That's part of the job, isn't it?
I guess it is. But did anybody ever get really rude and obnoxious toward Ray Dittage?
Oh, sure.
Could you give me an example?
It was the perfect storm of a young dumb reporter interviewing an acerbic and chronically cranky and bitter old coach named Norm Van Brocklin. It was 1970.
Yeah.
And I was asking him questions. He was coming into town to play the Eagles. He was coaching the Atlanta Falcons then. And what made this particularly painful was I grew up as a kid watching Norm Van Brocklin win the championship in 1960. So he was a hero of mine. So I'm interviewing him on the phone, and he is just as miserable and cranky as you could possibly imagine. And I'm fumbling around. I'm 23 years old, my first year on the beat. Don't know really what I'm doing. And I'm asking him these questions. He's giving me these snotty, you know, one word kinds of answers. And I'm really starting to sweat. And finally, I say, "Well, I'm gonna, you know, this might seem like a stupid question." And he said, "I'm sure it will be." But I went ahead and asked it anyway. So that was 1970. That was the 23-year-old Ray Dittage.
But did you ever feel the same, you know, like a hero worship toward him after he treated you badly?
I made a distinction between Van Brocklin, the quarterback, and Van Brocklin, the coach. And I had heard enough stories, even from his own teammates who loved him, about, you know, how miserable and acerbic he could be. And he just had a deep, deep, deep dislike for sports writers, even the ones who knew what they were talking about, much less me. So I always just kind of separate it. You know, he's that guy, but I'll never lose sight of the guy who won me the championship in 1960.
That's pretty good. I got a couple where the coach actually chased me, but physically chased me. But, Ray, let's get to the game on Sunday. Joe Burrow is the number one pick of the draft, and he's the starting quarterback of the Bengals. How far along is he? Could he cause problems for the Eagles?
He's playing great.
Wow.
It's amazing to me. If you and I were sitting there and I put the tape on and you'd had no idea who he was or what his background was, and I just asked you to evaluate his performance, you would never ever guess that he's a first year player. But I'm not surprised. I mean, anybody that saw him at LSU, you knew that he was very much the real thing. I always felt that. He threw 60 touchdown passes last year, playing at the highest possible level of college football. I mean, he's got tremendous physical talent. But the other thing that you saw in college, and you're seeing it again already in the pros, is he's almost savant-like in his understanding of offense and his ability to sort of put the pieces together and process information. I mean, he is so far ahead of your typical rookie quarterback. You almost can't make the comparison. The last guy I've seen come in the NFL and look like he belongs this quick was Andrew Luck.
Wow.
This kid is, he's the real deal. And now the problem is the team around him is awful. And the offensive line is bad. They're not protecting him. But what I fear is that he's headed down exactly the same road as Andrew Luck, in that he is all that. I mean, he is that good a player. I mean, he has the chance to be a true great one. But we said the same thing about Andrew Luck, and the Colts never built a team around him. And he took this terrible beating, and he wound up walking away from the game when he was 30 years old and never achieved what he could have achieved. You know, I look at Joe Burrow and I see where he is in Cincinnati, which is the place where quarterbacks go to die. And I fear he's going to be Andrew Luck 2.0. I hope it doesn't come to that, but that's kind of what you're looking at. But to get back to your question, how good is Joe Burrow right now? Man, he's really good.
All right, let's go to the other side of the ball. I didn't like that at all.
You'll like this a little better.
Will Carson Wentz be able to rebound against that Bengals defense?
Should. Yeah, I mean, the Bengals defense is pretty bad. I mean, they're 22nd in the league after two games, and the thing that they're worst at, and they're really bad at it, is playing the run. I mean, I see this as more as a Miles Sanders game than a Carson Wentz game.
Oh.
You know, I mean, if I'm Doug Peterson and I'm putting the game plan together, it's a real heavy load of Miles Sanders in this game. Just run it, run it, run it. I mean, if you saw the Thursday night game that Cincinnati played against Cleveland, the Browns just ran wild on. They ran for 215 yards, and they could have run for 300. I mean,
wow.
They were averaging 6 yards a carry. If they had wanted to, I mean, they could have run for 300 yards in that game. The Bengals up front, their run defense is really bad. And so, I mean, looking at those films, there's no reason for the Eagles to do anything other than come out and just give the ball to Miles Sanders all day. The Eagles' offensive line was actually the best part of their game last Sunday.
Yeah, isn't that odd? No sacks and some good blocking for Miles Sanders. All right, Ray, obviously a lot of people in this city are very nervous right now because you yourself are not having that great a year. But I could see you turn it around, too. Bengals at Eagles, 1 o'clock, Lincoln Financial Field. Ray, who's going to win?
I'm picking the Eagles in this one.
There it is, Al. Whoa, we're saved.
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm with Al, actually.
I don't know.
Ray, is it going to be antsy, or are we going to be comfortable during Sunday's game?
Well, I think that I think the Bengals are going to move the ball. And, I know that this is the Rams playbook coming into town for the second week in a row, and we saw what they did last week, makes me a little nervous, you know, and the Eagles defense right now isn't playing very good. So, and Joe Burrow is playing really good. So I think the Bengals are going to move the ball and I think they're going to score, but I just think the Eagles offense, this is the week they're going to get on track. And I think it's a game that they should control at the line of scrimmage. I think, as I said, I think Sanders, I'd be shocked if he didn't have 100 yards. Heck, against this defense, he might have 100 by halftime.
Good.
So I'm picking this one fairly comfortably. I'm going to say Eagles 30, Bengals 21.
30-21. The master has spoken. Ray, we're looking forward to the post game. We'll be talking to you on Monday. Thank you, my friend.
All right, Ange. Have a great day.
The great Ray Dittiger, Al. I, tomorrow, will be selecting the Bengals.
Wow.
For mojo purposes
okay.
only.
Well, you just did it now.
Yeah, he's selecting them already.
No, I have not given scores or any of the analysis.
Oh, we're so getting line, analysis?
Al, there's a lot that goes into these picks.
Oh, really? Okay.
It's not mean. Like you. I literally, Billy, I go to Al and go, who you got? In that moment, he makes his decision.
Yeah.
He puts not one prior second into it. Until I ask him on here. Am I right, Al?
Yes.
Do you have any sense right now for what your pick will be?
No. I have to wait till the end. Why do it now?
I got one thing to ask. If you're just picking because of mojo, how are you going to put the analysis in it to pick for the mojo?
I'll fit whatever the mojo works. Okay. I'm going to say this. Joe Burrow can't
whoever
be
whoever he talks to last.
Yeah, you know? That's exactly
I just,
what it is.
I just wanted to know.
I think you work me long enough to know that I could pretty much justify whatever stupid thing I said.
There
you
was one
that.
Year I gave the Come same on. Score every week and you never
yep.
noticed.
20-17.
Yes.
Then I must have noticed.
Yeah, no, because I told you at the end.
No. Well, no. Toward the end, I started to pick it up. Right? I started to pick
week,
it up.
Week 12?
That's called trolling. Oh, it was later than week 12. It's like week 15. 215.
215-592-9494.
Bob and Eagle, Shirley and Lamont and Bobby. And yes, C. Wright Truitt has been Ooh. Working after I coaxed him out. And he will be on with some poetry in a few minutes. Stay right there. WIP Sports, I'm 8:15.